This paper is called Towards Detecting a Target Link Flooding Attack. The purpose of the paper is to research the possibility of detecting a link flooding attack. What a link flooding attack is when you have an attacker uses a set of bots around a particular target area, and they try to flood not the actual systems, like in a traditional denial of service attack, but instead actually send traffic kind of tangentially to the attacked systems to flood the links between the customers and these clients they're trying to access. So rather than actually DDoSing the machines, they DDoS the links around those machines and prevent access. Historically, they've been very, very difficult to detect because the actual machines on your network look fine. There's no load, they're not doing anything, they don't look like they're being DDoSed, and yet you're not getting any traffic. Your customers are complaining that they can't get their requests through. So they're using legitimate traffic, they're using low-rate protocols to flood these links. The links are usually not under your control, so you can't really monitor them directly. And they can, of course, switch between different links. You know, you may have multiple providers. There may be lots of different routes being the internet to the target area. So there's lots of places they can potentially attack. And there's also there's lots of asymmetric routes. So you may have a particular route that's really fast. They flood that one, and then everything gets flooded to your backup link, and then you still get ended up with a DDoS anyway. So the researchers came up with this tool that they call LinkScope. If you read the paper, you'll see that this is actually a product that's built upon a lot of prior work that they did in indirect probing of network resources. There's a lot of good information in the paper. This is where I start to kind of muddle through this because it's kind of deep, but it's really good stuff. I really encourage you to read the paper to get the details. Basically, what they do is they've built this tool that's able to send these indirect probes onto your network, analyze the information that comes back, and based on very unique heuristics that they've come up with, determine which links are actually in an abnormal state from what they should be, or in other terms, under attack. So, if I remember what this slide was about. There's, I think that what he was trying to say here was that you have, in a traditional probing situation, you have to have control of both the machines that you're probing and the machines that you're probing from so that you can do round-trip packet detection, check your round-trip times, check to see if packets are lost, et cetera. The reality in terms of these types of attacks is that you may not actually have access to all the machines, and yet you still need to be able to get this data. So they've come up with a mechanism of indirect probing in order to get this by sending packets with unusual bits set in them, so small round-trip times, low TTLs, et cetera, to kind of analyze the behavior of those packets in the network. Let's see, I don't remember what this one's about. You'll have to read the paper. This is they use several different types of indirect probes. This is one of them, round-trip probing. It's they actually send, I think it's a, they send a probe, and then they send a few load packets, and then they send another probe, and then they check to see what order they come back in to see if they've been reordered or if the how much jitter there is in the round-trip times for those. They do some extended two-way probing. I don't know, you'll have to look in the paper to see the details on these, but they have quite detailed descriptions in the paper of how each of these probes work. They also have citations to their previous work where they've actually researched these particular techniques and have proven the process. So I guess he's got a diagram here. So for extended two-way probing, they're able to send a couple packets out, and one of the facts that isn't really highlighted here is that in this case, the I believe in this case, the only system that's actually under control of the prober is the client. The servers are just behaving like normal servers, and so you don't have to have a probe installed on it. And then there's this modified recurse passive train, packet train, which, again, you'll have to read the paper. It's got some interesting stuff in there. They did get good results. So they did their test. They initially did some tests on the university, the Hong Kong Polytechnic network. So they just to prove that their probing techniques would work. They then extended their test area to include some EC2 hosts in Asia. So they tried analyzing, they gathered data over time just to kind of get a baseline of what data looked like, dumped it into the system to see if any false positives came back. They got some good results back. They then artificially added some load to a couple of the links to see if it could detect it. It did. They've got these plots, if you look at the details in the paper, will explain what the how they were able to detect it from the data that came back. So in order to organize all this data collection and analysis, they built this tool, and it's made up of several pieces. The most important one that's probably going to raise the most eyebrows is that it does include a packet filter that's installed at the low level. So the system that's doing the work actually has, I think it's a kernel module. It's been about a month since I read the paper, but it's at a very low level. It's using it's a derivative of PCAP, I think, that they're analyzing the packets with, because they also have to be able to create, you know, what amounts to malformed packets to do some of these probes. The system forms a loop. Basically, it sends out these probe packets. It's watching the Ethernet channel to see these packets come back. It dumps them into a measurement engine that constructs the various values that are then measured by the top layer, which collects the information and presents real data. Like, these network links need to be looked at. These network links are fine. So here's an example, I think, of what one of these things happens here. Again, I'm sure he would do a much better job of explaining what all this means. he was talking about how he was testing this in the Hong Kong University. This picture up here, which is kind of an eye chart, but they had the attacked router that they added here. So they plugged in a router that had some artificial latency to simulate an attack, and it was able to detect that it was inserted into the path. They then extended the experiment out to the internet in this chart, which there are a few others in the paper. They show how they tested all over the world. So their EC2 instance was in Hong Kong, but then they were able to test against servers all over the world, and they were able to replicate these results. Believe these are false positive rates, and in a few cases, actually, I'm not going to say that's false positives. I'm not actually quite sure. You should check in the paper. And finally, this LinkScope tool is, I believe it's available. If you look in the paper, they've got a link where you can download it off of their the university website to try it out. The key features is that it does end-to-end and looks at each hop along the way, and not just along one path. It looks at the entire network, at least, you know, all the endpoints you're able to give it, and it uses these unique network probing packets to figure out information that would otherwise be invisible to traditional networking monitoring tools. And from that information, they've come up with a set of heuristics where certain patterns of information, certain patterns of latency, certain patterns of packet loss, certain packets of packet reordering indicate that a link flooding attack is underway and can at least give you a link to focus on so that you can either then contact your ISP or look within your own network and try to locate who's flooding that, whether it's from a set of bots or from a dedicated machine. So in the future, they're going to continue figuring out better ways to, I think it's, when they say deployment strategy, they mean a better way to get more information from the network. Possibly, I think he mentioned having a dedicated endpoint that can get more information than they can get from these kind of mangled packets. And they're going to continue doing more work, gathering more data from larger networks, and of course improving the software over time as they continue their research. So I hope that I did his paper justice. It was a very good paper. I encourage that you read it. I hope I didn't bungle too much of it if you end up reading it, but I can try to take questions. I don't know if anyone has any. All right, well, in that case.